It's The Takeaway. I'm Arun Venugopal, in for Tanzina Vega as she begins her maternity leave. And we've got one more story for you today.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
In the streaming era, Hollywood studios are really struggling to get viewers out of their homes and into theaters. But one formula is still a pretty good bet. Bring together a couple of movie stars and pull off some dramatic explosions. It's a blueprint that worked well for the Bad Boys movie franchise. The latest installment, Bad Boys for Life, finds Will Smith and Martin Lawrence once again teaming up as Miami police officers, but occasionally showing some signs of their age.
You might want to pull over for a minute. I need to tell you something.
Pull over? Are you gonna pull over?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Give me 1 second. Let me see if it's way pull over.
Way low! Marcus needs to pull over for a second! Hey, can we get a timeout?
The first two Bad Boys movies were helmed by Michael Bay, the man behind Armageddon and Transformers. This time around, the franchise keys have been handed over to some new talent.
My name is Adil El Arbi, and I'm the director of Bad Boys for Life.
Adil made the new Bad Boys with his directing partner, Bilal Fallah. And while the pair are relatively new to Hollywood, they've been working together in Belgium for years after first meeting in film school.
We would go to film school and everybody was white, Caucasian Belgian, you could say. And also, you know, the media world, the movie world, all the actors, they were, you know, we didn't have anybody that was a public figure that looked like us. So to be there in that school and being the only person of color, that was a little bit intimidating. And that's why when I found Bilal, it clicked right away.
Tanzina Vega sat down recently with Adil to talk about making the transition from Europe to Hollywood. He started off by explaining how he and Bilal were drawn into filmmaking, despite the lack of representation in Belgian cinema.
We grew up basically with American movies, with Hollywood, which was much more diverse. And you know, these were the kind of movies that we wanted to make. And luckily, when we were in film school, our teachers, who were also film directors, they pushed us to tell our stories, because these were stories that were never told before. And that's how, step by step, we started to, you know, to integrate our stories in that new version of Belgian cinema.
Your first two feature films, Black and then Gangsta, both centered around gang members in Belgium. What stories were you trying to tell that you hadn't seen in Belgian movies?
Well, in the case of Black, which was about, you know, youth gangs in Brussels, people didn't really know that they existed. People didn't really talk about it, not even in the newspapers. But it was it's still a reality of that city, of Brussels. And we just felt that stories that, you know, we related to these characters, and we knew some of these characters that had those kind of lives, whether they were friends or people of our families. We just felt that, you know, these people also deserve to have their stories told to the world. And in a world, in a Belgian cinema world, where there was never a movie with main characters that were African or Arab or any other colors than white, it was something, you know, revolutionary when we would make movies about that. And the same for Gangsta, which was about the cocaine problematic of Antwerp, a city where I'm from. Same thing, also a reality, also something that's really present, but nobody talks about it, and still it is there. So that was our, you know, our need to show the world and show Belgium that other facet of the country.
So you've made the leap from Belgium to Hollywood. How do you convince a Hollywood producer that you and Bilal are ready to be in charge of $100 million movie starring none other than the actor Will Smith?
Yeah, well, that's some crazy stuff. It's just, well, you know, it was always our dream when we started to study movies. To be honest, it was not because of Belgian movies that we wanted to study that. It was because of big American Hollywood movies and Jerry Bruckheimer films. We you know, everybody saw them in the cinema. It's the same with Will Smith. You want to make a movie with a big star. And it was like a joke. It was a dream. It was just, you know, if one day we get the ticket to go to Hollywood, let's just go for the top and ask for the craziest project ever that they would never give to us, but at least we try. And that's how, like, being really, you know, cocky and not thinking too much, we just went to Jerry and asked him right away, hey, can we do Bad Boys 3? So that's how we do it, not thinking too much and dreaming sometimes too big.
Right. But I mean, when you go from making independent films in Belgium to going to Hollywood and working with this sort of blockbuster budget and blockbuster talent, I mean, what's the learning curve there?
Well, in our case, we always made our movies in very difficult conditions, although the budgets were really, really way smaller. You know, we had to shoot them in sometimes very difficult neighborhoods, in tough conditions with mostly non-actors, which is not always easy. So let's say that we already had, some war scars. We had some battles. And that sort of convinced them that we could make movies in difficult conditions and that we were not afraid of big challenges. Of course, you go then to something that's cost like $100 million with big stars and studio, and it's something else. But at the same time, it's also a challenge. It's also going to war. And the experience that we had from guerrilla filmmaking, you could say, we used that, but on a studio level. And that helped us to survive some of the most difficult days.
Hollywood has a tendency to, as we know, allow white male directors to move from small indie films to big franchises with lots of big budgets between them. You were given that opportunity as well, but not everybody gets that opportunity. Is there something that you want to tell studio heads about giving those opportunity to women and people of color more broadly?
Yeah, I think in our case, we're not, white dudes. For us, even in Belgium, there were no film directors of Moroccan or Muslim origin or whatever. So we had to break that kind of ceiling, you could say. And the fact that Jerry Bruckheimer and also Sony give us the opportunity to give two sons of immigrants this chance is just amazing. And it just proved that, Hollywood got to take chances because there's a new generation of people that tell stories in a different way and can go from really art house cinema to blockbusters. And you see that kind of change. You see more women making movies, all kind of movies, and also women from different origins. There's the same thing for us, I think it's the first time that two Muslim Moroccan people from Belgium make a big blockbuster movie, and it just it makes everything more fresh, and you gotta take chances because it's just gonna make cinema richer, I think.
Another area that has not gotten as much attention in film has been Islamophobia. You've tried to address that in some of your previous work. Do you expect to be able to do that in Hollywood?
Well, what we try to do is for Bilal and me just to be like good examples, you could say. We are Muslims and we are proud to be Muslims, but that's also not all we are. We are also filmmakers and we love cinema. And if, doing our job, making movies, if that can, change the perceptions in the mind of some people that maybe, might not know Muslims that well or might be afraid of them, then at least we did something, we're giving a good example and it's something positive. So that's what we try to do by just doing our job the best way that we can.
Adil El Arbi is the co-director of Bad Boys for Life. Adil, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.